I'm Molly Ingram, and I cover Connecticut for WSHU Public Radio. Staying well informed is essential to a strong democracy. Understanding the facts and cutting through the noise takes work. At WSHU, our mission is to help you do just that with coverage from our newsroom, NPR, and the BBC. Your financial support makes it all possible. We're expanding our world together.
St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Litchfield, Connecticut, is set to host a potluck to celebrate Juneteenth, which is today. It's part of their third Thursday gatherings, mostly events that focus on champions of human liberation and freedom. Thurgood Marshall was the subject last month. Many arts and culture organizations are also hosting events to highlight Black liberation. Father Brett Figlevsky says church is a great place to celebrate Juneteenth.
All of us are free or none of us are free. And so I hope, especially in these times, which everyone knows are polarized and increasingly violent, that we look at our history and we do the deep spiritual reflection to try to move forward as a people.
Figlevsky says churches have a special role to play to promote freedom and liberation, especially at a church like his, where the congregation is mostly white. He says he hopes this Juneteenth potluck will be the first of many annual celebrations to come. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Officials say ICE was in Danbury, Connecticut this week. A look at the environmental bills that didn't pass in New York this session. One Connecticut museum is on a mission to keep kids engaged this summer. Plus, Long Island Sound is home to some of the tastiest oysters in the country, at least according to the folks who harvest them. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. About 10 people have been picked up by immigration agents in Danbury, Connecticut over the past few days. WSHU's Maura Staples reports some residents are not happy about it.
No fear, no hate, no ICE in our state. No fear, no hate, no ICE in our state.
More than 100 people marched outside the Danbury Superior Courthouse on Tuesday. They're upset about Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents detaining more than a dozen Danbury residents since Monday. Juliana Suarez Martinez co-organized the protest. She says as a child of immigrants, she always felt safe in her hometown, until recently.
Yesterday, I saw ICE agents use one of those unmarked tinted windows cars to disappear with a woman here in Danbury, right over there on Fifth Ave.
Shame.
Her car was left behind with the child seat, with toys in the back, receipts, remnants of a life that she was violently ripped away from. And that image has not left me since.
A video shared on the organizer's Instagram account shows masked agents in unmarked vehicles making arrests, refusing to show warrants. Danbury Mayor Roberto Alves says ICE didn't tell him they were in the city before they started detaining residents. Maura Staples, WSHU News.
New York state lawmakers finished out their legislative session this week, but they shelved some of the most ambitious environmental bills due to intense pushback. Jung Yoon Han reports.
It was up to Democrats in the Assembly to pass environmental bills already greenlit by the state Senate. That included laws aimed at weaning New York off natural gas and temporarily banning the use of sewage sludge as fertilizer. One bill would have required companies to reduce plastic used for packaging. But fossil fuel conglomerates like ExxonMobil that are increasing their plastics production lobbied to kill the bill. So did companies like L'Oreal Cosmetics and Coca-Cola. Assemblymember Deborah Glick is a Manhattan Democrat who co-sponsored the plastic reduction bill.
There was the most obscene amount of lobbying, not just by almost every lobbying firm in this city, but we had Washington, D.C. lobbyists coming to Albany.
The legislature did pass a bill requiring homeowners to pay for new natural gas hookups, ending a long-standing policy that waived those charges for houses within 100 feet of a gas line. In Albany, I'm Jung Yoon Han for the New York Public News Network.
Arts and culture groups across the region have scaled back operations due to recent cuts at both the federal and state level. But this summer, a museum in Greenwich is opening their doors for free to kids on the weekend. WSHU's Ada Usenlar has more.
The Bruce Museum will be free for visitors under 18 starting on July 5th. The museum held the same program in the past using state funding. This year, it's funded by an anonymous private donation. Kathleen Holko is with the Bruce Museum. She says they're grateful for the donations given the recent loss of funding for the arts around the country. She says giving young people these opportunities is more important now than ever.
We believe in helping young visitors become lifelong museum goers. One way we do that is making the museum friendly and inviting and making the content accessible to them or to any of our visitors, no matter what age you are.
Up to four kids can join an adult for free at the museum through August 31st. They'll also host a sustainability-themed family day on July 19th. Ada Usenlar, WSHU News.
Oysters are a summertime favorite, but what happens after the meal is helping bring life back to our coastal ecosystems. That story is ahead.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It is all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org.
An audit by the New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli questions the LIRR's claim that it increased service by 40% when it opened Grand Central Madison in 2023. DiNapoli says the railroad only ran 23% more trains and ignored commuter complaints about changes and delays in service. The LIRR says it stands by its numbers. Governor Ned Lamont has activated Connecticut's extreme weather protocol beginning on Sunday, as temperatures are expected to exceed 90 degrees through at least Wednesday. In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul has directed state agencies to prepare for the heat wave. To find the nearest cooling center in Connecticut, you can call 211. You'll remember last summer when everybody was out looking for spotted lanternflies to squish. Well, they've started to emerge again in our region after hatching in the spring. They can be found mostly on plants at this stage of their development. Officials urge that they be stepped on or killed on site. They say the mature spotted lanternfly could have a devastating impact on both apples and grapes grown in the region. Suffolk County Correction Officers will get a 17% pay increase over 5 years as part of a new contract between the county and the Correction Officers Union. Union membership approved the contract by 95%. Officers had been without a contract since December. Connecticut harvests 20 million oysters each year. The tasty shellfish are more and more popular with diners every year, but how is the supply meeting the demand? WSHU's Isabella Fabo has more on an organization that's saving shellfish.
The Long Island Sound is home to some of the tastiest oysters in the country. At least that's according to the people who harvest them.
We grow some of the best oysters in the world here.
Jonathan Waters owns Thimble Island Shellfish. He's been in the oyster industry for more than 40 years.
I'm 73 years old. I grew up watching the oyster boats when I was a kid. Fell in love with oystering and oysters very early on.
He helps dump shells in the water for Connecticut's only shellfish recycling organization. It's called Collective Oyster Recycling and Restoration, or CORE for short. Co-founders Tim Macklin and Todd Kanke have been recycling shells for 2 years. Here's Tim.
We partner up with restaurants and seafood businesses that serve oysters and clams, and instead of them throwing those shells in the trash, we collect them, recycle them, cure them, and then put them back in Long Island Sound to help restore oyster habitat.
It's like, why weren't people doing this for the last 100 years? We're only 2 years in, and it was just like, that's too easy. All we have to do is put it back in, and nobody's doing that. It's crazy.
And that's Todd.
And we always say it's the most efficient way to recycle because we don't actually have to add any energy to dry it. The sun is the thing drying it. The bugs are eating what they do, and we have our own little ecosystem up there.
They collect shells from 50 restaurants year-round, from Greenwich to Mystic, but they only send the shells out on boats once a year, and that's right now.
We're aboard the Double Eagle, which is built in 1929, and we're carrying shell to plant the natural beds up in our area of Brantford.
At a marina in Milford, Todd uses a bobcat to move shells from a large pile to a conveyor belt. Tim shovels any stragglers and makes sure the shells land in the boat off the dock. By the time they're done, they've filled two boats.
Today, if that was 350 bushel, it would be like 17,000 pounds.
So why is this so important?
Well, first of all, there's a waste crisis all over the country in Connecticut, so we're pulling waste out of the waste stream. And then, you know, not only oysters are delicious to eat, but they are hugely beneficial for the environment. One adult oyster can filter 50 gallons of water a day.
It's really a win-win on so many levels, and really important part of, you know, the whole ecosystem.
According to a 2020 study by Connecticut's Sea Grant Office, nearly 4 out of 5 Connecticut residents eat shellfish. CORE's efforts help harvesters meet the growing demand, but they say they're worried about their future.
You're always hoping you can keep going that next year, because if you lose a year, I mean, they really only spawn once a year, and you want to just keep that critical mass growing of that native bed out there.
They say the state used to fund shellfish habitat restoration every year, but not anymore.
It'd be great if the state could, you know, see a value in what we're doing and have an annual allotment for it.
And what are they doing?
We like to say we provide homes for millions of baby oysters.
And just a reminder, these are some of the best oysters in the country.
What I love about Connecticut oysters is they're wild caught in a sense. They're tougher oysters. They've been through more. They're not these pampered, you know, like ones that grow up in these nice little cages. So,
since they started 2 years ago, they've recycled more than 700,000 pounds of shells. Isabella Fabo, WSHU News.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. A few new programming changes across both news talk and music will begin this summer. For the full list, head over to WSHU.org. And for more details on why these changes were made, check out the recording of our live town hall event from the other week. It's available on our YouTube channel, WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.